In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text that is out of St. John's Gospel contrasts the true keepers or guardians of the human spirit, or of the human race on the one hand, and the false and bogus so-called guardians of the human race on the other. It is a unmasking of the false guardians of our futures and our hopes and our hurts, and an unveiling of the true guardian of the human condition. And it is in terms of a simile in which the Good Shepherd is seen as the true or authentic or sincere and loving guardian of the human tragedy and human existence. He is the one, it says, who is good. He lays down his life for us. He knows his own, verse 14, and we instinctively know him, my own know me. And he lays down his life, it's repeated again in verse 15, for the sheep. This shepherd, who is good and sacrificial, is contrasted with the bogus, or apparent, but really malicious, pseudo-guardians of human good, known as the hireling. And the hireling is not only not a shepherd, he's simply hired to do the job, but he's a time server, like almost everybody who works at all airport concession stands. He's reading a book, and you have to persuade him to give you a $20 hamburger, hot dog, actually. It's $20 if it's a hamburger. He who is a hireling, he's not there. He doesn't give a hoot about you. Just go to any Burger King in any airport. His own, she doesn't know you. Could care less, and even if you've been there 20 times already that day. He doesn't know us, and when he sees trouble coming, the wolf, he leaves and flees, and the wolf snatches us and scatters us and destroys us. Now, the key to understanding the difference between the bona fide benign keeper of our souls, our lives, and the would-be apparent but false guarders of the human soul is to understand that the Good Shepherd here is the gospel, and the hireling is the law, and the wolf is death. Now, that's not a stretch, because Paul exposits this passage all over the place, that it is the gospel in person, in Christ, who represents and expresses to us true care for our souls and our hearts and our hopes and our wounds. And it is the law which appears to have the ability to tell us how to live our lives, but, as St. Paul says, often killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The law condemns and destroys, in the broad sense of what that means, which I'll explain. Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd elevates and makes whole. Now let me explain what I mean about this. Now, the hireling is the apparent guardian of our best good. Now this is what the law of God does. It appears to be the law, in the broad sense of the word, standards, yardsticks, ideas about yourself, every word you've ever heard on MSNBC, every word that Geraldo Rivera has ever spoken in his entire life, all human reason, all advice, all newspaper columns which says tips for, or Alabama should, or it's about time that, all these things in all headlines and in all places and in all television and in all radios and in all movies and in all acquaintances and in all friendships and in all conversations, all of the communications that you and I receive, unless they are in the context of grace and acceptance and the death of Christ, are communications of law. All conversations, you listen to them, just go on a bus, which nobody does, but if you did in an airplane, it's always taking turns talking. There's no real listening. No one's, it's like, well, I think, yeah, but I think, yeah, but I think, yeah, but my mom says, you always bring it back to yourself, and you feel worse and worse and worse and worse. What the law is, it is the appearance, let me explain how this works. The law is the appearance of having my good at heart, but all it does is kill me. Let's give the obvious example. This is obvious, but cover of Time magazine, 15 years ago, two eggs, sunny side up, and the headline says, "This will kill you." Time magazine, 8 months ago, two eggs, sunny side up, the new health. Now, there we are. It's like the New Yorker cartoon where the family are eating dinner around the table or something like that, and an angel, like in Cinderella or in Pinocchio, a beautiful angel comes and says, "Now, everything that you thought was bad for you is now good for you." Bing! Well, the law is the principle of demand that morphs. It morphed in the 60s, it's morphed in the 90s, it morphed in your life, it's constantly morphing, but it's so powerful that it makes you think you ought to obey it. Now, most college seniors, you know what they really want to do today? They all think they want to get jobs working for Morgan Stanley. This is really, just talk to any college senior. I don't care if he's at BSC or is at Swarthmore or anywhere. That's what they think they want to do. Now, when I was coming along, what was the only job that was unacceptable in all the world? Getting a job at Morgan Stanley. That was betrayal. That was treason. That was worth getting bombed. Now, think about the little... Now, what's that all about? Well, that's all about that the law, what the world tells us to do, changes like the weather. Food, we've talked about. Jobs, what you think is good, what you think is bad. It's constantly changing. And the trouble with the law is it's a bogus hireling because it tells you what to do long enough to make you miserable in trying to fulfill it. And it destroys your confidence and then it changes the rules. Let me give you another example. A few years ago, everybody where I used to live had a sticker on their car. This was after the Save the Sperm Whale stickers, which were the big thing. But in the next 5 years, stickers are important. They show where everybody with the law is. This sticker said, follow your bliss. It came out of a person that no one's ever heard of anymore named Joseph Campbell. Follow your bliss. Well, wow, hey, that sounds great. Follow my bliss. Quit my job, move to Tahiti, do something nice, and get hooked up with somebody I'd like to get hooked up with. Praise the Lord. Follow your bliss. But you know what it now is? Micromanage your time. By the way, that is not on your back of your car. That is on your forehead. I see it. You all have it. It's like one of those things when you go into a dance and they give you a thing that only a light can see. You've all got it on your forehead. I can see it, and you know what? Your husband can see it, and your children sure can see it. It says right here, micromanage your time. That's why you have to carry these batteries of you look like sort of Renaissance males with these doublets, because you've got to carry this beeper and this phone and this whatever it is, and your Walkman, and you look like a stupid Tudor English male. Well, now, what I'm trying to get at is that's changed. Even in the early 80s, follow your bliss. And now it's micromanage your time. Now let me give you another example how the law works, because what it does is it makes you think you ought to be this kind of way, then it changes the rules. The law has no content. It is a universal principle. The spirit giveth life, but the letter killeth. Paul says it over and over again. And if the law had not come in, I would not have known the trespass itself. The law is good in itself, but as a morphing power, the law killeth. And only the good shepherd giveth life. Let me give you one other example. Let's say you're a mom or a dad, but let's say today a mom who's really trying to do the best for your children. You didn't get into that car at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to become an anxious harridan and an impossible person. You got in for very good motives. You want to give your children the best possible exposures to the most possible legitimate activities in the best possible schools with the most rich diversity of after-school activities so that they can really come out on their own and really find themselves and self-actualize. However, the fact is, if you want to have a little moment in hell, spend some time in the cars that are shuttling our children around at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Spend 15 minutes in hell. I invite you to do it because there are no exceptions. I'm not speaking as some kind of critic here. Mary obviously did the vast majority of it, but when they got Dad to sort of do his one expiatory big deed of the week, take the children to one swimming practice, even then I got a whiff of it. I'm trying to listen to Simply Red. I've been waiting all day to listen to Simply Red on the CD that I've just gotten. I can't wait to listen to Simply Red. I've had a big day in my mind. I've got a lot of other things in my mind. I've got to take these three screaming kids, of whom two I don't even know and wish I didn't. I've got to take them all the way across town to some army base to go to some thankless swim practice, which they're never going to make the first team anyway, and then going across to a soccer practice to take somebody else, and then take somebody to ballet lessons because it's the sister of the friend I'm taking that I wish I didn't know. By the time it's all over, I said, you know, Mary, we've really devoted our lives to this very important concept of giving our children maximum self-opportunities for actualization. Baloney. It's 25 minutes in hell. So what I'm trying to say is that it started out as a good thing. It started out as a good thing. But because it became the law, you suddenly find yourself going down Nyazima and you say, what am I doing this for? Why am I here? This is crazy. They're impossible. They don't want to even be there. They're fighting like mad. I'm really upset at him. And what is this thing? Well, that's called the law kills. Now, there's a contradictory message that says, okay, every family ought to have a meal at night all together, no matter what. And it's very important that your children play, especially play in the neighborhood where you can see them. It's very important that children learn to just have time to exercise their imaginations with no agenda. Well, that's a law, too. You tried it? The power of the law. The power of the law is so great that one way or the other, you are really messed up. Now, there is one exception. If sports activities or children's activities come into collision with Sunday morning, that is easy. Because in all cases, the church should always take precedence, because you're giving your children a very mixed message if you're saying that baseball is more important than church. Baseball can be very important, but more important than church, it's not. But that's another story. And I stand with the sainted Cardinal O'Connor, who almost got fired when he said that from the pulpit in St. Patrick's. But the power here of the law to make a mom into a desperate woman, to make a man into an angry, despairing, cynical creature, to make a child into a person who doesn't even know what end is up, to make food into an ever-changing fashion, and to make ideal goals in life spewed out of the mouths of fashion every 5 years is simply a picture of the hireling. He's not a shepherd. We're not his. And as soon as he sees the biggie coming, which is termination, death, he leaves the sheep and flees. The sting of death is the law. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The power of death is the law. Because you know what? I lost 15 years doing something that amounted to nothing. And you know what happened? My children, after all this activity, my 18-year-old boy says, Mom, how come you never attended my games? Now that's in fact what you're going to hear. So it's a killer. The law is death. It is the hireling. It doesn't care about you. CNN doesn't care about you. USA Today doesn't care about you. Geraldo doesn't care about you. Oprah doesn't care about you, despite the protestations. What's his name? The fashionable guy they all listen to with the Irish name, late at night. Who? Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien really actively doesn't care about you. It's the law. And what matters, and here I come to the great good news, is we need deliverance from the law based upon cutting it off at its source. You can't fight it on its own terms. You can't say, I'm going to homeschool my children, or I'm going to have peace in our car. We're going to just listen to tapes of some, I don't know what, quiet guy walking around a labyrinth somewhere and giving us peace. It's not going to work. You're going to be miserable. The only thing that snaps the law at its fundamental Gordian knot place of strength is that the law is an attempt to give people's lives meaning in the face of meaninglessness, death, and termination. And that's why the Good Shepherd has this powerful vocation. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep because I know my own. And they know me. Now, you know, when you're in that car this week, and I'm speaking to myself, running from hospital to hospital, or Sam's whatever it is to whatever it is, or whatever it is, remember the Sam Cooke song, that great old Sam Cooke song, Jesus, be a fence around me? There's no answer to law based upon a contradictory law. The only answer is the Jesus Christ that says death is not the end. So we really don't have to, it doesn't matter. what kind of impression you give somebody else, or you give yourself, or give the culture as you lay down your life on the altar of somebody else's ideas. Because Jesus Christ has, in fact, opened the gate of death, and death is not the end. And at death, we go like this, and we're in the presence of Christ, and boy, will we be happy and certainly surprised. Now, the only other thing is, if you have questions about the meaning of life, don't ask your friends, because they'll just give you a lot of advice, unless they've learned how to listen. If they've learned how to listen and say nothing, then you're great. But how many friends do you have who do that? Count them. Count the number of friends you have who, if you have a problem, do not immediately bring it back to themselves. Count. Well, half. Two. Maybe my mother once. Think about it. God is the one who hears the man under judgment, the person under comparison, the crippled one under the law, and he hears, and by the Holy Spirit, he'll give you your answer. And he certainly has answered by telling us through Easter that death, drag that it is not the end all. And so there's no pressing need to get it all settled in terms of activities at the present moment. The good shepherd is the gospel. The hireling is the world's laws, and they morph. And the wolf is death. And according to this, as the Father knows me, I know you. And I lay down my life for the sheep. As we're seated, let us pray. Dear God, wherever we are currently being tied into knots by some idea of what life should be, I pray that today this could be unmasked in a fresh way, not just to replace it with something else we can't do, but rather with the confidence that we stand before you not being judged to death, and in the presence of your Holy Spirit directing us and leading us every second of the day that you have given to us, to our mothers, to our children, to our husbands, to all those who look to us for love. Amen.